Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know, can I come down to preach? Praise God. It's so good to be here this morning. I want to appreciate, okay, you are interpreting.
Yes.
All right. I want to appreciate the pastorate, the leadership of this church. Reverend Francis Adedeji. Pastor Bolu Lawal.
Alpha Bolu Lawal.
Pastor Lawale Olajide, I don't know the rest.
Alpha Lawale Olajide.
For the opportunity to be here to preach God's word. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Now I feel like putting this pulpit at the back of Reverend Francis and Pastor Bolu. So I'll just preach to people. Amen. Because these are my teachers. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Bolu said, we learned the word together. He's a liar. He taught me the word. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And so, I'm here this morning to just teach what I title, Responding to the Grace of God. Responding to the grace of God. You know, because many times people have come to know so much about, you know, God's grace. What Christ has done for us.
Ohun ti Jesus se fun wa.
But then they do not have the right or appropriate response.
Ṣugbọn won o mo esi to ye kan fun ohun ti Jesus se fun
wa. To this grace of God.
Won o mo esi to ye kan esi nkan to je ki esi won je si ore ofe
ta ba Jesus. So I'll start out by saying, you know, by explaining to us briefly what is the grace of God.
Aw bere lati ma so fun wa pe kini ore ofe Olorun je.
John chapter 1 and verse 17.
Joanu orikini
eseketadinlogun. Now, while there may be many, you know, graces, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Grace in ministry, grace and, you know, grace of giving and all that. What we're talking about today is grace for salvation. Which is the starting point for every one of us. Hallelujah. John 1:17. Can we all read together? I like us reading together. Let's all read together. Let's go. One, two, go. Hello, stop. John 1:17. Are we all there?
Joanne,
now let's read together. Grace and truth came by. So what came by Jesus Christ?
Grace and truth.
What came through Moses?
Law.
Is that a contrast? What came through Moses is the law. Hallelujah. What came through Jesus is grace and truth. That means that the law of Moses is not the same as the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, the law of Moses was not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the law of Moses was pointing to this grace of God. One of the uses or major purpose of the law of Moses was to diagnose the condition of man and to show to man the need for salvation. You see, when you meet a man who assumes that he can please God and obey God completely and get a pass into heaven by what he has done, the way to humble him quickly is to bring him under the spotlight of the law of Moses. Hallelujah. That was exactly what Paul was saying in Romans 7. The law, if you know the caliber of man that Paul was, Paul was a Pharisee.
Paul was a Pharisee.
One of the strictest sects in Jerusalem.
These
were men who were devoted to keeping the laws. But then, when Paul stood before the law of God, he found himself falling short. of the standards of God. You know, I love a text in Isaiah that says, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Filthy rags, meaning a menstrual cloth. Something not befitting to be seen. Hey, hold on. Not your sins. Hallelujah. It's not your sins that are like filthy rags. Your righteousness. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
You get to the gate of heaven, why should we give you a chance? You say, wow, I obeyed all the commandments of God. And they say, okay, what next? That should be the end, Abby. I obeyed all the laws of God. Now, you're not going to get in because that's a lie. Amen. Because nobody has the capacity to be 100% forthright and upright in the sight of God. You know, there are diverse scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us that there is not one man on the earth who does right and does not sin. The only sinless man to ever walk the face of the earth is the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And so, for any man to claim a status of sinlessness is an affront on the standard of God's righteousness. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, for we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world guilty in the sight of God. He now says for verse 20, he says, for we know that by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. For by the deeds of the law, no man will be justified. Hallelujah. In fact, I think the rendition is, for by the knowledge of the by the law, we have the knowledge of sin. Now you may say, well, without the law, people can know about sin. And that's true. But then Paul says, without the law, or by the law rather, we have a knowledge of sin. That's the word epignosis. It means a full understanding of sin. The law explained what sin is. That's why in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, how would I have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the law differentiates for you what is murder, what is lying, what is killing, what is this. So, you know, without the law specifying all those things, many people will just be like Cain in their response to God. You know, Cain killed his brother. I'm not sure anybody will kill his brother today and then be feeling like nothing happened. You just killed somebody. But because in the absence of the law, there is no consciousness of sin as it were. And when we talk about the consciousness of sin, we are talking about a ministration of guilt and condemnation that makes a man feel helpless and in need of God's salvation. Hallelujah. So if you are here this morning and you've assumed that the way you are going to be in heaven on the last day, or the way you will be accepted by God, is dependent on your own self-effort, then you are in the wrong. Hallelujah. You are in the wrong. You will never be saved by what you do. Heavenly rest. I know you'll be tired. The heavenly race must be seen as a race to fulfill your ministry, not to make heaven. Not a race to make heaven. Because salvation is only possible by the grace of God. Two stories. There was a parable in Luke
18.
Hallelujah. You know, because we don't have much time, and then the interpreter is even taking half of my session. So we have to just rush. Hallelujah. So we might not have to be reading everything. But in Luke 18, from verse 8, we find a parable where Jesus, you know, told us of a Pharisee that went to pray. The Bible says he went and prayed with himself, not to God. And then he was saying, you know, because that's praying to yourself. Father, I thank you for what I have done. I thank you because I am not like. You're thanking God for what you did. Amen. And so that doesn't make sense. And so Bible says that man went home humbled. And there was a sinner who said, a tax collector who just said, Father, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. Bible says that man went home rather justified than that Pharisee who fasted twice a week, who gave tithes of everything. Why? The simple lesson in that parable is that justification is not by what we do. It is only based on how we rely on the mercy and the grace of God. Hallelujah. There was yet another man who came to meet Jesus to ask him, what shall I do to be saved? That's the second story. And then Jesus said to him, go and keep all the commandments. And then he says, all these I have kept from my youth. Now Jesus didn't say, go and keep the commandments, you make heaven. He says, keep the commandments, then follow. Go and sell all you have, rather, and follow me.
Jesus is often pelo ta gbo nti oni ko si wa tele mi.
You know, because he said he had kept all the commandments.
Olo ti so fun Jesus pe ohun ti pa gbogbo ofin mo lati kekere.
And so the man went away sorrowful.
Arakunrin na inu e de baje o kuro
nwa jolo. And so the disciples of Jesus who were not rich.
Awon arakunrin Jesus awon
omoleyin
Jesus won de wa nwo won bere.
They were sad.
Inu won de baje.
Because if a man who is this rich,
nitori pe arakunrin to lowo toto yi,
stands no chance.
How much more we
who have nothing? And so Jesus makes a statement. He says, with men, this is impossible. Not that it is difficult. You know, difficulty is that you can try.
It's impossible.
You cannot make it by your works. Acts of Apostles chapter 10. We find the story of Cornelius. A man who was God-fearing. You see, Cornelius had a far richer experience than many Christians today.
Cornelius
as a man who was not saved. Yeah, an angel of the Lord appeared in his room. Gave him accurate word of knowledge. I mean, imagine an unbeliever locating your house by the ministry of angels. And even you, a Christian, you've never had any encounter like that before. You will say, sister, it's me that needs to be born again. Glory to God. That was a man who kept the laws. He was generous. He was a good man. But then, Bible says you must send for Peter. Who will tell you what you must do? And when Peter got to the house of Cornelius,
Bible
says he taught about the remission of sins. Hallelujah. About the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And so what is the grace of God to us today? It is the free gift of forgiveness and remission of sins.
That
when a man believes in the gospel, his sins are forgiven on account of the sacrifice of Jesus. Bible says in John 1:29, This was coming from the forerunner of Jesus. He says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus comes to take away sins. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
That means that heaven is not for those who have no sins. It is for those whose sins have been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
So when I think about the salvation of God, I see it as God justifying me, not on my own merit, but on the merit of Jesus' sacrifice. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews makes us to see that the problem with the people in the Old Testament wasn't just their own disobedience. It was also because the sacrifices were impotent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, forgiveness of sins does not come by shedding tears. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So even if people were crying under that Old Testament, none of that could avail. As long as the sacrifice was impotent.
But
Bible says in the same Hebrews 10, this one man Jesus, by one sacrifice,
he
sanctified us once and for all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus does not offer sacrifices continually. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You and I as believers are not to be in the habit of every day asking God for forgiveness. Why? Because the sacrifice that got us saved is potent. Because the sacrifice of the Old Testament was impotent, it had to be offered regularly on a yearly basis. In fact, it was not just yearly. Some of those sacrifices were daily. Trespass of sacrifice or offering. Do you know? You know this prayer, some of us grew up with this prayer in our parents. Where they will say in Yoruba now, they say, Eshe ti mo momoda. Ati ti mi o momoda. Hallelujah. You know that thing is from the Old Testament? Unintentional sin. So there's nothing like I did not know. Sin is sin. And so the law had to depict that. That there must be atonement even for sins that people do not know they have committed. But the sacrifice of Jesus caters for all sins, past, present, and future. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you, that you do not sin, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah.
Glory.
You see, when you have an advocate, you don't do the speaking by yourself. That's why the Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We are not to speak the blood, though. The blood by itself speaks.
The
blood avails. Just like the blood of Abel needed no pleading. By itself, it cried out for vengeance. That is how the blood of Jesus also speaks for forgiveness and redemption. Glory to God. So how do we respond to this grace of God? Number one, we have to pursue the knowledge of it. Because we are talking to ourselves now as believers. If you are not a believer in this place, your first response to the grace of God is to believe it. But if you are a believer in Christ, your first response is to pursue the knowledge of the grace of God. Hey, there is no such thing as I have already understood it. There is no such thing as I already know it. You see, there is the cause of familiarity. Familiarity. Where, you know, before they quote the scripture, you're already completing the sentences for them. You no longer have a student posture. Look at the pastors writing notes. Do you think this is the first time they are hearing this? Some of them have been preaching this for over three decades. But there is a student posture. You see, anyone who does not study the word meticulously in church, he's only revealing his posture in his house towards the word of God. If you have a student approach to the word of God in your house, that is the same culture you bring to the church of God. Hallelujah. Hey, listen guys, God's word must be studied. There's such a thing as a pursuit of the word of God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amongst the Jews, the culture was very ethic. If you go to Deuteronomy, you see, it says you must speak it when you lie down, when you rise up, when you walk on the way, you must tell your children, you must instruct. It was an all-consuming effort.
Hallelujah.
Let's see something in James quickly. I'm beseeching you this morning. There must be a pursuit of the word of God. A pursuit of the word of his grace. Bible says in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up.
Hallelujah.
What builds up is repetitive learning. It's not I heard it. I was in that meeting. I've now grasped it. Let me tell you something. If you listen to the messages that have been taught in this church, in your individual space, like a student, you will be amazed how many things you did not hear when you were in the meeting. I know this by experience. Hallelujah. You will be amazed. You know, many times we overrate our minds. Have you ever watched the movie before? You saw it again and you were like, oh yeah, rewind. Did I say, this is a movie. Sometimes you are watching it the fourth time. The mind of a man is not that powerful. The mind is so fleeting. As we are here, your mind might have gone back to the Indomie you left in the house. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, you know, our minds process information from seeing one thing. So you may see somebody who has a color red. It just connects to something that, you know, happened last night and your mind has wondered. So there must be a student. That's one of the reasons why we write in church. Because writing helps us to enhance focus. Let's look at James chapter 1. I want to show you something this morning. Because you might wonder why some believers seem to have been in church for so long. They've learned so much, but there's no corresponding fruit.
And then,
when you ask the person, oh, what is the Greek word for redemption? He will quote it. If you give him the mic, he will explain salvation. There's a head knowledge of these things. You see, the proof of forgetfulness is not that you cannot recollect those things if they ask you to recollect. It is that there must be a corresponding work. And if that work is absent, you have forgotten the word. Even if you can quote it well. That is how James and Peter taught forgetfulness. So let's see the first one. James 1.
Judah Rikini.
Hallelujah. James 1, are we there? We're going to start from where Pastor Bolu started the other time. From verse 21, are we there now? Let me just read to you. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and all overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, it says to be doers of the word. And not hearers only. It doesn't say hearing is a problem. In fact, hearing is how to do the word. Because that's where James is going. So listen to how he says it. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So the problem is the attitude he has towards God's word. He looks at it and walks away. Now the word forget. Epilantanomai in the Greek. You know what it means? It means to ignore. It is not that the man, like I said, it's not that the man cannot regurgitate those things for you. It is not that it is not in his head. Hallelujah. Please, we all can recite the multiplication table. I'm very sure. The national anthem. But when last did you sit with it? Did you have to? So it's possible that your mind, your brain is so sharp that sometimes you can even recollect facts that are of no use to your life now. So when he says he forgets, it is not that it is not in his head. The forgetfulness is ignoring the word. That's why, so it means I leave church on Sunday. Monday, Tuesday. I'm not studying God's word. When I come back to church, I hear God's word again. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm not studying.
Friday, Saturday,
Sunday, I come back to church. I hear God's word again. Now, the problem with such listening is that it will seem as though we are relaying foundations for you every service. Those are the people you will need extra things to ginger them to worship God. Do you know you are alive today? You know you are alive today. Is that not something to be grateful for? Some are in the mortuary. We are in the sanctuary. And all kinds of funny things. You know, because the man has not grown to appreciate the knowledge of God's word. It is not a compelling and propelling force in his life. Hallelujah. And so, look at what James says. He says the solution, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. What is the in it? It's in italics. Continues to look. Some other versions say, if a man studies the word and fixes his attention there,
That
is the time that will not become a forgetful year. So it is the word of God that will make you do the word of God. Otherwise, we'll just be back to the law of Moses style.
We are
trying to keep up with God's commandments by my own effort. Whereas the Bible tells us in Philippians 2, 12 to 13, I'll quote the 13th verse. It says, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Romans 12, 2, it is the renewing of the mind that begets a transformation. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So the renewing of the mind does not happen by listening once in a service. I have to go back and engage the scriptures. Hallelujah. This grace of God that you think you know, you have to know it again. Amen.
Amen.
The way you've been eating rice since you were born is the way you must become accustomed to taking in the same truth.
And
it's ever fresh to you. Do you know why you are not bored of eating rice? There's hunger. Hallelujah. There's hunger. If a man continually hungers and thirsts for the word of God, it will be ever fresh. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 1 as I begin to close. Psalm 1. So our pursuit of the word, our pursuit of the same truth, is how we respond to the grace of God. That's the first thing. The second thing, we're going to get there soon. Look at Psalm 1. Are we all there? Glory to God. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Nor sit in the seats of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does what? He meditates day and night. How often does he meditate? Is it a daily thing? Is it a daily thing? No, daily. Is it a daily thing? What is the result of that meditation? It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever it does shall what? Shall prosper. So when I see a believer who is not bearing fruit, what's the problem? He's not planted.
His
meditation in the word of God is not constant. You know, the fruit of the spirit is not something you are meant to struggle to produce. The word actually means it's a yield on an investment. So there's no accidental Christian living.
Okay.
The effort I put into laboring in God's word is what will yield unto me fruitfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Whatever you are thinking, whatever controls your thoughts, whatever dominates your mind, determines how you live. It's that simple. Maybe it's time to cut down your obsession with social media for some. Because sometimes those are the major distractions today. Where you spend 3 hours on Facebook, on WhatsApp, idle chats to no profit. Things that do not concern you. They are all over your timeline and your feed. Somebody just divorced somebody in Lekki. What's my own? Do you understand? News that we have no business with. There are more distractions today. And so you discover that you are spending 4 hours on social media and you can't spend 30 minutes with Bible study.
It seems as though
our phones are smart. And we are not. Hallelujah. They call them smartphones. We have to be wise. You know, Bible says and that in Ephesians. It says, be not unwise. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Walking circumspectly. There's a need for us to pursue the word of God. Hallelujah. Number two, how do we respond to the grace of God? Ministry. 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 Ephesians chapter 4. Now, the part of the study of God's word, the pursuit of it, is that I'm constant in my attendance in church, attending to the sermon's thought. You see, do you know you can, listen everybody, do you know you can have a retreat all by yourself? Just go and pack all the messages in church. You cannot finish it. And say, for 3 days, I will listen and pray. See, that was what changed my own life. When I went to Believers Assembly, pastored by Pastor Ayo and Pastor Boluden, I remember in 3 days I listened to 17 tapes. See, I was very hungry. You know what I discovered? So when they brought out the tapes, they were already dusty. And so the person that gave them to me said, you know, a lot of people don't come for these tapes. And all that. I listened to them. I went home. I dubbed 15 extra of them, took them to Lagos, continued to listen. You see, when I returned to Believers Assembly, it felt as though I had been amongst them for years. Amen. It was the kind of pursuit. You see, I don't want to bore you with some experiences that began to happen to me, but you see, nobody taught me how to hear God, how to all those things. It was that commitment in it. I just discovered that my mind was so renewed. That was the first time I had an audible hearing. God's voice. There was no how to hear God in those series. Truth about salvation, normal believers' commitment, those were the sermons. But you see, it opened my mind so much to God. There was such passion that was in me. Prayer became a culture. I knew it was not me trying to pray. It was such a motivation within. That was God's word working in the life of a man. Hallelujah. Let us open our hearts well to God's word. What works really is that long exposure. That devoted, concerted effort to receiving. Let me tell you this. The way you study as a student in school is the same way we study God's word. The same effort. Hallelujah. Amen. And so before you start saying God's word is not working, how many years? No. How is your commitment? Because if you commit according to prescription, you will see the fruit of God's word. God's word has worked and will always work. Hallelujah. You know, the average Christian will say, I don't know, this Christianity thing. He's not committed, though. And then, I used to liken such a man who falls sick and goes to the hospital. They give you the prescription. They say, take it 3 times a day. You take it once a day. Some other days, you even miss it. You know, this drug is not really working. You're not serious. The drug is potent to work, but it has a prescription. And so the same way in the world, it is that long exposure to vanities, falsehood, deception that rubs on you and produces the kind of person you became. That is how you are meant to expose yourself to God's word. That's why in Psalm 1, What the writer was saying is the same way a man complains with the ungodly and complains with sinners, this man now stays with the word of God. Hallelujah. So the outcome of rolling with sinners and sitting in the congregation of the unrighteous is that the man turns out to be evil and ungodly. But if I stay in the congregation of the righteous, I abide in the word of God, then my life turns out differently. It is the same commitment, but to two different things. Hallelujah. So if you don't have the same commitment, you can't be saying God's word is not working. There must be a passionate pursuit of the word of God. And then I said the second way to respond to the grace of God is ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 11, Bible says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So what is the end? What is the goal of receiving knowledge? It is to be equipped for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. Now listen, many times when we think about ministry, in Ephesians 4, for instance, what comes to the mind of people readily is ministry of reconciliation. Now that's great. But ministry is twofold. In fact, technically, it's threefold. But then, twofold because our ministry is first to God. Then ministry to men. Hallelujah. And then you see that from Old Testament down to New Testament, the priesthood, if you read 1 Peter chapter 2, you see that the Bible likens the church to a royal priesthood. And so the priesthood in those days, their first duty was to minister unto God. The other ministry finds its effectiveness when a man receives the word, responds to God in ministry, and then does ministry to men. You see, that other one will suffer if you don't excel in this one. There is first a ministry to God. And what is it? It's very simple. A ministry to God is simply the worship of God. Hallelujah. Giving of thanks, praising his name. That is why every time you see the benefits of redemption listed in scriptures, there's always abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 1, downwards, when he got to verse 12, he says, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7. As you therefore have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him, rooted and built up, established in the same, as you have been taught, abounding in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, and verse 16 to 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to the Lord in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1.
Timothy,
I exhort you first and foremost that giving of thanks, supplication, prayer, request, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Hallelujah.
Glory.
1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks to God in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Listen, you see, this ministry to God is a serious business. You see, Pastor Bolu came up the other time. Some of you, you know, just give thanks, just praise God. You see, passionless, cold, detached way of worshiping God is not worship. There is the offering of ourselves. Bible says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That speaks of the engagement of the whole faculty. You see, when we talk about the mind, for instance, the mind contains the emotions, the will, and the intellect. There's nothing like I'm worshiping God, but you see, it's God that knows. It's within me. I'm praising God, but only God can see it. No. There's an expression to the praise and the worship of God. And the moment a believer feels too big, or gets too distracted to worship God as he should,
it
will falter in the other ministry. I'm telling you, the moment the worship life of a church is not strong, they will struggle to impact their world. You see, listen, ministry of reconciliation helps us. It helps us grow also. We learn some things in there. However, that is not where we get the real transformation. The transformation comes from our study of God's word and our ministry to God. So the ministry of reconciliation is an overflow of the transformation we have received. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I go and tell others about God, about what he has done for me, when I've spent time knowing it and spent time appreciating God for it. Hallelujah. When last did you fall on your face? Did you lift your hands in worship? Those are postures. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm always amazed when I, you know, see people, and I have to teach this well even in my local church. It's a culture. People are not used to giving thanks. And you know what? That's one of the fruits or traits of the unbelief that we had. Romans chapter 1, they were not thankful. Neither did they glorify God. You know, we were created for the worship of God. So when we fell from that state, we lost out on the worship of God. And you know why sometimes praising God and thanking God can be very, can require that you do it from a sense of duty? Because we are used to giving thanks for the things we can see, ephemeral things. Hallelujah. But now you have to thank God for what he already did. Amen. Now it is not wrong to give thanks to God. I mean, we saw Jesus break bread and give thanks for it, give thanks at the tomb of Lazarus. There's giving thanks for all things. Amen. But then the core of our worship and praise to God is because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I'm saying a man must wake up every day. A man must wake up every day and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And start singing unto him as though it's fresh. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Because in the real sense, it's a fresh deliverance. It's a fresh salvation. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day, remains new. Hallelujah. So this is our first ministry. This is the environment that even enables people to hear God. I'm telling you, look at the boy Samuel. And you know, there are lots of teachings today, steps to hearing God, how to act the voice of God, how to get in. And funny things, let's just stay with our duty. See, God is not willing to speak to a man. God is more willing to speak to a man than we are more willing to even hear him. But the problem is that most times we don't stay where he has put us. Acts 13:1-2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, hallelujah. Glory. If you go to 1 Samuel, you can write this text. 1 Samuel 3:1. 1 Samuel 2:11 and 2:18. What was Samuel doing in the temple? The Bible says he just ministered to the Lord. And there was a time.
He
was just ministering to God. Then one day, the Lord called out to him. And he heard clearly. Glory to God. He heard clearly. What I'm saying is this: if you have never spent time in the worship of God to a point where we say, praise God, amen, all right, it's done, we're done, and then you are struggling to come out of it. has not touched you. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
The moment you say amen, you just stop. You just enter another mode.
Toba tin so to so pe ka yin Olorun je ka yin Olorun logo. Ni kete to ba so ko ya o ti to o de ti to na ni.
Ara ti da.
Oju e ti da wa.
No, you are not doing it.
O ti e ti bere si ni yin Olorun.
Because it must get you emotionally.
Nitori pe o gbodo gbe e de bi to e pe iwo gan wa mo ni ara.
It must affect your feelings.
O gbodo gbe e de bi to e pe iwo gan mo ninu emi.
That is how people lose addictions. I'm telling you, because now there's a renewed way of feeling. Because you studied and you responded appropriately. With the praise of God. Hallelujah. So that is our second way of responding to the grace of God. We worship God for it. We thank God for it. We never get tired of it. Hallelujah. Let's write down this other text. As I close, Psalm 134, 1 to 3.
Ori Dafidi, 134.
Psalm 135, 1 to 3.
Eje ka ko awon ese bibeli yen sile.
1 Chronicles 16, 4.
Chronicle kini, ese kerin dilogun, ese ori kerin dilogun, ese kerin.
2 Chronicles 5, 11 to 14. You know right there.
Chronicle keji ori karun, ese kokan lele
gun si kerin. 2 Chronicles 5, 11 to 14.
Second
Chronicles 5, 11 to 14.
Chronicle KG. Ese ori karun. Ese kokon le. Ese kokon la.
You know, right in that one, you see how that as they ministered to God, the glory of the Lord filled the house, they could not even continue to sing. Amen.
Amen.
Have you noticed that when a man enters singing, most times, the flow of the Spirit becomes more spontaneous? Whenever you start singing, you don't even need a keyboard, though. It is not because God depends on music to speak. It is for the man. You know, Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So sometimes everything is not together. Your feelings are elsewhere. And then when you enter the singing, it brings everything together. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And so you have to labor in it. You have to devote to it. Hallelujah. You see all those scriptures we listed? Those are scriptures that show you how that the first thing God appoints the priest for is to minister to him. You know, I like to say, the man that bows to God regularly will stand up to anything. It is the man that has ministered to God effectively. That is the man that will minister for God effectively. Is a transformed man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, hold on a minute. You don't wait to feel like it before you start.
No.
Listen, feelings always catch up. Feelings are slow learners.
So
you are waiting for a song that will touch you. No. Every song is to be sung well. Your feelings will follow. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and give him praise. And thank his name. You are deliberate. It's a sense of duty. These instructions are to be obeyed whether you feel like it or not. But they will eventually affect how you feel. My very soul longs to shout. Hallelujah.
Praise God for saving me.
Save my very soul.
My very soul.
Shout
hallelujah.
Praise God for saving me.
Saving me.
Shout, hallelujah. Praise God.